This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
Seventh consecutive month that output was below a year ago. Your thoughts?
The May milk production report really was a big deal. I think the industry is watching that monthly milk production report saying, when are dairy farmers going to, you know, turn it on? When are we going to ramp it up? And the May milk production report, which, as you said, was down, you know, 0.7%, did not show any indication that we're ramping things up. This is an issue in the U.S. where we have a declining milk supply, but it's also an issue in international markets where New Zealand is still down and Europe is still down, and they're not showing any signs yet of a rebound in milk supply. So for the American dairy farmer, this is probably good news. It definitely is going to keep support in the dairy market for the foreseeable future. But I think maybe for the American consumer, they're asking, when are we going to see the supply response as dairy fits into that broader inflation conversation?
Matt Gould, editor and market analyst with the Dairy and Food Market Analyst Newsletter.
Tuesday.
Matt Akins, a dairy management specialist at UW-Madison. Matt, you've worked with producers and industry professionals with a specific focus on the management and nutrition of dairy replacement heifers.
Yes. So there's multiple ways that producers can think about managing their heifer population so they don't have heifers everywhere. A lot of investment time and having the correct numbers is a key thing, and then managing the nutrition program to try to control costs is another thing. But
Wednesday.
For those of us who are not in your side of the industry, we kind of think about plants as ruminant plants or monogastric plants. Do you think categorize them that way, or do you have a different way of kind of categorizing feed mills?
I think over the years we have moved more towards specialized plants. So the poultry industry is pretty much integrated from that standpoint. Layers have their own feed manufacturing plants. Same thing with swine. Where you get into it is probably the ruminants. You have a little bit more variety there. Some may be doing beef cattle, some may be doing dairy, but the commercial feed mills are also picking up a lot of companion animals and more specialized. So I think we've actually moved more over the years to having more specialization, which allows us to actually focus more on the customer.
People preventive control. Talk a little bit about that.
Working within the system and trying to figure out, okay, what can we do working with our employees to prevent disease transfer within the facility or even on a food safety side. So that's part of the new Food Safety Modernization Act is where do your employees fit in as far as these preventive controls to ensure that we're producing a safe quality product for our customers.
Professor Charles Stark of Kansas State University.
Thursday.
Louise Calderwood is Director of Regulatory Affairs with AFIA.
Communication is key. So we're able to be that voice. We are able to communicate with the regulatory community, with the academic community, and that information comes back to the producers. It's all about the producers in the end. We have a board of 45 members, and on an annual basis, they develop our policy priorities. It certainly is our message to Capitol Hill. It's also where we put our resources for education for our members as well. That's developed by our board, which is our members.
Friday.
Our topic is going to be looking at fine-tuning diets for environmental impact. And this was based on a webinar presented by Dr. Mike Van Amberg from Cornell University. It's about 9% of the greenhouse gases produced by dairy cattle are coming primarily from milk production, which represents about 51% of the greenhouse gases, and then feed production makes up the other 20% of it. From 2007 to 2017, we saw about a 20% reduction in greenhouse gases. And that includes such things as the amount of greenhouse gas per pound of milk, per pound of butter, fertilizer needs, water requirements. All those things went in the right direction, and that is good news. The most popular byproduct feed was corn gluten feed at 37%, fuzzy cotton seed, 69% of the rations had fuzzy cotton seed in, 66% had canola, and 48% had soybean meal. Yes, those are byproduct feeds because we are taking those oil out of those products. And certainly DDGs were up at 63% of the diets. So our take-home messages include, one, we need to know our facts and figures here on greenhouse gases. Dairy is really working on this. Whole farm net balance is certainly something we're going to be hearing more about in the future. And we want to get some credit for those byproduct feeds that don't end up being discarded in landfill.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to dairyradio.com.
Dairy Rewind.